Aerosmith, Walk This Way. Jason's classic cut on the Jerry Bader Show on Tuesday. Does it every day at 10:06. It's 10:07. All right. Yeah, we're still getting emails on the concealed carry thing. We need, however, to move on to something. I actually have three things that I want to point out. Two of them rather briefly, a little longer on the third one. The low this morning in Green Bay, anyway, was 17 below. Boy, if we acclimated to bitter cold, wind chills were about 25, 30 below. Remember when the polar vortex hit? I still laugh at that. And they try to make it sound as though bitter cold in Wisconsin was this freakish phenomenon that we've never experienced before, when in fact this is just a return to the winters I grew up with in Wisconsin. It's been bitterly cold. It has been a hellish January and February. It just has been. And it's amazing how I don't even think about it anymore. When the first one hit, plugged in the one car that we had, did this, did that. Now, there are communities that are actually telling people to continue running their cold water a little bit because the frost is pushing down so deep it's causing frozen pipes. We haven't been doing that. It's just ridiculously cold. I mean, it has been, this might not be the deepest of cold stretches, you know, in terms of 20, 25 below, but we have hit 20 below, and we have been in that 15 below and lower range a lot in January and February. Now, there's finally a warm-up coming, but it's just amazing how I didn't really think about it this morning. 17 below! Just ridiculously cold winter. Item two, and I do this one at the risk of offending some people. Jason's like, really? Could you just not then? If you're offended by this and you want to let the producer know, it's triple. all right. Well, I'll tell you here. This will work out for those of you in Wausau and Sheboygan. Right now, it's Lake Winnebago sturgeon spearing. Okay. Green Bay TV treats it as though it's deer hunting season. It is the big story. You see big, ugly, prehistoric-looking sturgeon. And now, it is one of the better seasons in a long time because of the thick ice and the water clarity. It's true. It dominates TV coverage in Green Bay for days. Just days. You would think all of Northeast Wisconsin went sturgeon spearing. How many people spear sturgeon? Is it thousands? Is it hundreds? It's a very small segment of the population, but it leads the newscast night after night after night, day after day after day, for the duration of the season. I think it's just because it's low-hanging fruit, you know where the story's going to be. You go point the camera at it. And by the way, I have nothing against it, and that's why I don't want people to take the wrong way. I think it's actually a fascinating sport. I really do. But every year, this just strikes me. Again, I think it's getting more coverage this year because these are some of the optimal conditions. But, I mean, how many people sturgeon spear versus deer hunt? And yet it just dominates the television airwaves up in this part of the state forever. Now, in the last hour, we had, for the duration of the season. In the last hour, we talked about another one of those open carry disputes, this one in central Wisconsin. Last night, my wife and I attended a session on what to do if you're in your place of work or wherever and you're involved in an active shooter situation. We're talking Columbine, Sandy Hook. It was fascinating on a couple of points. One, was a longtime law enforcement officer who was giving the instruction. I thought it was a little long on history. I would have liked a little more directly dealing with what you do in the situation. Almost the whole first half before the break dealt with the history, going all the way back to Charles Whitman at the University of Texas in 1966. I thought that they spent too much time on that. But that said, once they got to the meat of the topic, there is something that he said over and over and over. If you're in an active shooting situation, you cannot count on the police to save you. This sounds like common sense, but I think a lot of people think you're going to call 911 and the police are going to come and save you. He also pointed out that when police do respond, and he talks about how the philosophy has changed, that even if you're there alone, you are supposed to charge in as an officer. And that when the police do arrive, their number one goal is going to be to stop the shooter. And if you're hurt or you're injured, that comes next. That's the next wave of personnel that's coming. First wave is they're going to get the shooter and they will step right over you if you're bleeding to death. That's a hard thing to hear. But that is the reality. I knew that before this session, but it's not something you think about. You also don't want to think about an active shooting situation, but they do happen. By the way, those of you who don't think they're on the rise, he showed the statistics where they are on the rise. There's just a bogus statistic was put out there last year. Just completely bogus. These are on the rise. He also points out that if you are armed, you need to really think about what the situation is if you're going to engage with a gun. Are there two? Are there three of them? Are there six of them? You know, what's the situation? The other thing they emphasize that the old school wisdom in the Columbine days of just running and hiding has been modified. If wherever you're hiding and the gunman or gunmen find you, fight back. Fight back. And they showed a video that was controversial when it first came out because it didn't show having a gun. Gather up whatever weapon you can. And just talked about a lot of realities of it that might not seem pleasant, but they are what they are. And if you're caught in an active shooter situation, you're on your own. And I think it all made sense. Get out of the building if you can. If you can't, try to hide. If you are hiding and they find your location, fight back with whatever you can. But don't go down without a fight. Here's one for you, Jason. An audience member. Well, I guess they were a listener. They were listening to him. An audience member asked him, what about playing dead? Coming through the hallways, what about playing dead? Good idea, bad idea? What would you think? Good idea, bad idea? Bad idea with a yeah, but. It's a bad idea, yeah, but. Said, if you can't hide and you don't think you can really confront him, then it's all you got left. And people have survived that way. But he said, you know, then you go back to the element where you're putting it entirely in. But if they know they haven't shot you. Yeah, if it's in a situation where he's fired, if you were in a field of fire and he may have gotten you. So, but you're just rolling the dice. He might just walk over you, which has happened. Or he might put one in you just for the hell of it. Here's the other big one. I almost forgot. Do you know what has happened in any number of these? The shooter was confronted with obvious evidence. Charles Whitman, 1966, the Texas College Tower. There's a blood stain. This nice young couple encountered him after he had killed some people. They thought it was varnish. Because your mind doesn't want to accept that something this bizarre is happening. In the initial moments of Columbine, they thought it was a senior prank. Some people. Your mind tries to adjust to the normal because you just can't believe this is happening. Anyway, it was all fascinating stuff. It's not things you want to think about, but it's fascinating stuff. All right, we'll get to the stuff I teased, including Walker derangement syndrome, in just a bit here. It's 10:17.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.